Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is in the miracle working business, beloved. Greetings, this is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you were able to spend these next few minutes with me as we continue on in a message, a new land. We are looking at some of the promises that God gave to ancient Israel in Deuteronomy. And just as God was making some very clear distinctions between their future experience and their past experience, He is doing that for us in terms of spiritual understanding, that because we are now His, He wants us to adopt the mind of Christ, to have the mind of Christ, to not be influenced by the world's ways. Just as Israel was, it took them many years, if they ever even successfully did it, to be freed from that slave mentality that they, you know, when they saw the giants, when the spies were sent over, they came back in unbelief that they, in spite of all the miracles they'd seen God accomplish, that it says they, you know, there were giants there, the cities were walled and great, they couldn't do it. And yet it was only Joshua and Caleb who by faith understood, because God was with them, that no matter how it looked, God was well able to accomplish His plan in their lives. They were well able to take the land. Beloved, that is true for you. And I want to take just a moment to pray, because it takes concerted effort in our own daily life to not be influenced or oppressed by the negativity that we find in the world, the constant turmoil and evil and trouble that's there. And God wants us to be, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and He wants us to be joyful in Him. And this will be one of the, I believe, have always believed for years, this will be the distinguishing mark of Christians in the end times. When there's little to be happy or excited about, there will be a peace and a joy that will be a characteristic of the child of God, because we have understanding. We are in another kingdom. The kingdom's within us, beloved. His kingdom is coming literally to this world, but now we can still live in it. We pray that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That time is coming. So let's pray. Father, I just want to take authority over the negative influences and oppression the enemy would bring because of the negativity and evil, the troubles and evils in this present world system. And Father, I pray that all of your children will be able to walk in the beauty of your promises that you've promised to us in this new land, just as you spoke to Israel, that it was a new land. It wasn't going to be like their experiences in days past where they were servants to the Egyptians. But Lord, we are no longer slaves or servants to the devil. We're your children. We can approach you as your children. We know your eyes are upon the righteous, your ears are open to their cry. And so, Father, we thank you for deliverance. And Lord, we pray, we confess, we declare, we receive the mind of Christ as brought forth beautifully in the Scriptures. We understand, Lord, what it is you expect of us. Help us, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to ever walk in that joy and in that fullness and in that understanding and in that revelation of this new wonderful land you've given us of the kingdom of God. Praise God. Amen and amen. All right, well, let's go back to our text, and this is Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, and I want to read verse 13. He was, before that, we've covered this in the preceding broadcast, that the Lord was saying, it's not like your experience in Egypt, even just naturally, because you had to work to irrigate the crops. Now there's going to be rain from heaven. However, he then moves on to a different subject in verse 13 and says, "And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul." What's that saying? With our heart, our spirit man, and with our soul, our will, our mental capabilities, our desires, our emotions. What happens? He said, "I'll give you the rain of your land in his due season." So what are we told? We're told to hear him. "You shall hearken diligently. Hear, and your soul shall live." Hear what Isaiah says in chapter 55 and verse 2. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and then let your soul delight itself in fatness." Verse 13 tells us also to love him. "You shall love the Lord your God." He not only seeks an opened ear to hear his voice speaking to us, but also, beloved, an open, receptive heart. As his love for us gives us entrance into his heart, so our love to him gives him an entrance into our hearts. Beloved, it is a beautiful communion. God said, "Hear him, love him." And if you do that, if you hear him and love him, then you will by progression simply serve him. That will be the expression of your obedience and of your love. Verse 13 says to serve him with all of your heart, with all of your soul. If we love him with all of our heart and soul, God said. Now let's read verse 14 in its entirety. "Then that I will give you, if you do these things, the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, thy wine, and thy oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full." In other words, have plenty. And so what is he saying? "I'll give you the rain of your land at the proper time, the first rain and the latter rain, that you may harvest your crops." And so there's priorities first, and then come the blessings. The first rain comes after the sowing, and the latter rain is just before the harvest in the Middle East. After the word has been sown in our hearts, beloved, we experience the power of the Holy Spirit. That was the first rain, if you will. But, beloved, God is preparing his church. We've had the rain, but there is a latter rain outpouring that I believe the word speaks of, many prophets are addressing, that will come just before the last great harvest, before the return of the Lord. Beloved, the world hasn't seen anything yet from the church of God. Let me share some verses from the second chapter of Joel. I'll be reading verses 23 to 27. "Be glad then," let's see, 23, yes. "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat." Hallelujah. That makes me think of gather the wheat into the storage places of the Lord, right? Into the harvest place. "And the vat shall overflow with wine and oil." That speaks of the wine of joy of the Spirit and oil, the anointing oil of the Spirit of God. "And I will restore to you," beloved, what a beautiful promise to stand on. I'm doing that for my life. In fact, many times, many decades over the years, prophetic words came to Brother Glass and myself, this very scripture, at various times, and it is a beautiful scripture. "I will restore to you the years the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that's us, beloved, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Praise God. And so, beloved, in Deuteronomy, as he says in that 11th chapter, he said, there shall no man be able to stand before you, verse 25, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. He gives a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. So he is calling, beloved, for a consecrated life. If we diligently keep all his commands, if we love him, if we walk in his ways, if we cleave to him, this consecrated, anointed, filled up life, if you will, is one that is daily being consumed with a zeal for the Lord. And yet, it's also being daily replenished by the indwelling Spirit, which sets us aflame with his presence and glory. Beloved, this is a holy fire of the heart, a holy fire burning on the altar of our heart that is never to go out. Just as we understand in the tabernacle, that lampstand always had to remain lit. And when we walk in this new land God has given us, we will have an adventurous faith. God said, every place where the soles of your feet shall tread upon shall be yours. Faith laughs at impossibilities, beloved, and says it can be done. That's why he says, as largely that your joy may be full. Every promise, beloved, claimed in active faith is a promise possessed. Every promise of God are open doors into the supernatural, into the superabundant fullness of God's covenant promises. As great as your need may be, is God's supply for you. Then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before thee. No man shall be able to stand before you, beloved. The enemy will not have dominion over you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And beloved, I pray for you every day that every stronghold, every work of Satan will be defeated in your life in the name of Jesus. For these reasons, we can be joyful and thankful in the Lord. Well, my time is gone. I love you. I must bring this broadcast to a close. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.